Today's daf in Masechet Yevamot is daf Chof Zayin, and as I promised you, we'll do the brief review to make sure we catch the sugya completely, so that we're able to jump right back into the middle of our discussion of yesterday. So yesterday we introduced two new concepts. One concept was Achot Chalutzato, which would mean that if two sisters fall to you, then even if you don't hold of the Isser of Zika, and there's no such problem of Achot Zekukato, nonetheless, if you would be chaylets to one of these sisters, the other one would definitely be Asura Mishum Achot Chalutzato. And for sure, you could not do Yibum on the other sister, because it's similar to Achot Ishto. So it means we have three similar issues. One is called Achot Isha, which is Diraita. One would be Achot Zekukato, which is Derabanan if you hold Yesh Zika. And one is Achot Chalutzato, which is Derabanan according to everybody. That was one issue that we introduced. The second issue that we introduced yesterday was totally new. We had never even gotten a hint of such a thing. And that is that there's a concept of a Chalitza Girua, which is a compromised Chalitza. What is a compromised Chalitza? In the event that normally, wherever we do not have the pasuk that says the words of the pasuk in Chalitza, so wherever we have a situation where the Yavam really could not say the words Lo chafatzti lekachta, I don't want to marry her, then there's no din of Chalitza. Meaning what? Well, if he doesn't have an option and he's 100% not going to be able to marry her anyway because she's an erva on him, so then we learned from that pasuk before, Kol she'ena ola le'ibum, ena ola le'chalitza, because the whole din of chalitza is that it's an option, that if there were possibility of yibum, he has an option of chalitza. But if there's no possibility of yibum, then there's no option of chalitza, meaning there's no chiyuv at all. There is no zikas yibum on any level, even in terms of the mitzvah. And remember that zika, the concept of zika, has three different dargas as well. Truth is, it has four, but we've been ignoring the shitas that talk about Zika Kiknusa having a diraisa din of Achot Zekukato. We've only been dealing with Rishonim who hold that Zika would create an Isser Derabbanan. So first of all, there's the concept of Zika, meaning that you're chayev in the mitzvah. That's a given, and that chayev in the mitzvah means that you cannot release this woman. That's a posik. Lotia eshata meta chutza. So there's obviously still a connection to the relationship to her original husband. That's for sure. The question is whether Zika creates also Isurim to make it seem as if you were married to the woman despite the fact that you weren't. That's Madrega 2. That would create an Isser of Achot Zekukato. Madrega 3 is to hold that Zika is Kiknusa, and it's as if you already did Yibum. Now, that would be a different question, because supposing two sisters did not die simultaneously, the brothers did not die simultaneously, that were married to these two sisters. So then the moment that sister number one falls, at that moment, even if the brother surviving never does the Yibum before the second brother dies and leaves him the sister, it doesn't matter, because if you hold that Zika is Kiknusa, then it's as if he already did Yibum. So once he does Yibum, he for sure would be able to take the first one, because it's as if he was married to her. It's only the second one that would then be the equivalent of Achot Ishto. So we've had these different dargas in Zika, and may I remind you that there's yet a fifth question, Benogea, the strength of Zika, and that is the difference between a Zika that is to two remaining or more brothers, in which case the power of the Zika is spread out between the remaining surviving brothers, or in a case where there's only one brother that survives, where the Torah has put the entire onus and responsibility of Yibum on him. And therefore he has no choice but to be the Miyabim. You'll notice the relationship of the English word onus to onus in Hebrew, meaning that he is absolutely forced to do this act. So that would mean that the Zika is obviously much stronger. So that's a different question, but all of these things were part of Zika. Now, we had the introductory Mishnah. The introductory Mishnah presented us with a classic case of Zika that was spread between two brothers. And that is, we had the total of four brothers. Two of the brothers were married to these two sisters, and those two brothers die. And now the question is, the remaining two brothers, they are faced with a situation in which they would have to take any one of these two sisters that they take would be achot zekukato. The Mishnah seems to be saying that, well, because of that, you cannot take either of them, but you still need to do chalitza, because this chalitza is for the Zika, and the Zika, remember, in this case, the achot zekukato doesn't remove Zika. It's not like an erva. It's only a derabbanan extension, and therefore we can't let you off the hook when it comes to doing chalitza, but you cannot do yibum. That was the simple take of the Mishnah. Now, if that's the case, then we have to consider what the value of this chalitza is. So now let's imagine a situation where there is the sister and there's also another wife who was married to the brother, and each one of the brothers who died had another wife besides the sister. So we have the two sisters, and then we have two tsarot of achot zekukato, correct? Okay. The chalitza that is done, and this was the second thing that we introduced, and as I mentioned, that's called chalitza gru'ah. So then the simple case of chalitza gru'ah would be in the case where we have three sisters, but only two surviving brothers. Now, in that event, each one of these surviving brothers, let's imagine a case in which one brother who's married to the three sisters dies. Now, one of the brothers who ultimately survives and who is not married to any of the sisters, so she's not an erva to him, he goes ahead and he gives chalitza to that sister. Next brother dies, leaving the next sister, sister number two, to another. And we gave them names. We called the first sister to die Leah, because Leah represents the first one. We called the second one to die, the wife of the second one to die, Rachel, so that we can keep the order. And we called the third one, what did we call her again? Sally. Sal'i u'mitsudati. Okay. So we called her Sally. Now, so we're calling the brothers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The surviving brothers at the end of this tragic situation are only brothers 4 and 5. We gave them names too, Reuven and Shimon. Okay. So the story was that, and this was Rav's Chiddush, that when brother number one dies, Reuven does chalitza to his sister. To the sister number one, to Leah. Brother number two dies. Shimon does chalitza to number two. Now, each one of those cases, they could have done yibum. Not only chalitza, why not? They're not married to any sisters. So, when brother number one died, brothers Reuven and Shimon would be perfectly happy to do yibum. They just didn't. They didn't want to. So they ended up doing chalitza. So each one, in turn, did chalitza to one of the sisters. Now, brother number three, who is married to Sally, he dies. What happens to Sally? So Rav's Chiddush is that Sally will not be petura from the chalitza of either Reuven or Shimon, the remaining living brothers. Each of them has to give chalitza. She needs two chalitzas, an incredibly new idea. And why is that? Because since Reuven has already done a chalitza to her sister, and since Shimon has already done chalitza to her sister, what is left is a situation where neither of the surviving brothers could possibly do yibum to Sally, because each one of them is related to Sally, midrabanan, because of the fact that they looked like husbands, because they did the chalitza to Sally's sister, Leah, or they did the chalitza to Sally's sister, Rachel. So now if either of those brothers comes ahead and does chalitza to Sally, we say, well, that's a very compromised chalitza because there's no way you could ever have married Sally. And the Torah says, kolo oyla liyibam, oyla lechalitza, and this is a drabbanan situation where you weren't oyla liyibam, and therefore the chalitza that you did was a compromised chalitza because it was given in a case where midrabbanan you weren't allowed to be oyla liyibam, right? Rav is mechadesh that in such a case where you have a weakened and compromised chalitza, the chalitza does not act on the entire situation. It only acts on your situation. So you can take off any chiyuvim that you have by doing chalitza, but you do not potter the home from chalitza. So if this woman still represents the home because there's another brother there, so then he has to deal with the problem of his own zika, and he can only do that with his own chalitza. So then that means that a compromised chalitza is only usable to remove a personal zika. And since this Sally has got the zika from two brothers, both brothers have to do chalitza, an entirely new idea. Now, that doesn't mean that those two ideas go hand in hand, because there are two separate issues. One is a question of chalitza gerua, and the other is a question of whether a chalitza gerua would work from only one brother in a situation where there are two brothers. Now, the thing is, there are other cases of a chalitza gerua. There might be a case where a chalitza gerua would mean, a simple case, a brother dies, leaving two wives who are not related, and one surviving brother. So how could there be a chalitza gerua in that case? Well, let's imagine that that brother went ahead and he stupidly gave a get to one of the two wives of his deceased brother. Once you give a get, midrabbanan, you acted as if you did a partial chalitza. In other words, you're trying to get rid of this woman. And therefore, you can no longer go ahead and do the chalitza because now you're already involved in this home. So now suppose you want to do chalitza to the woman that you gave the get to and use that chalitza to pater the other woman who you really could have done yibam to. That's a chalitza gerua. But that's straightforward chalitza gerua without introducing any new ideas about, well, what if there would have been two brothers and there would have been a third one, and then would you need chalitza from both brothers? That's a whole different idea. So let's keep those ideas separately. Does a chalitza gerua require everybody's personal chalitza? I don't know. Rav says yes. Maybe not all shitas hold that. So there we started examining exactly that problem yesterday. And that was with Shmuel. Shmuel claimed there is no problem of Sally. Any one of those brothers could go ahead and could do chalitza to Sally. The problem was that Shmuel used a very unfortunate language. He said any one of those two surviving brothers could be cholets all of those sisters. Now, that didn't make any sense, because if he's saying you could be cholets all of those sisters, he seems to be ignoring the fact that there are certainly levels of compromised chalitza, right? So if Shmuel holds echot cholets to kulam, let us see first what does Shmuel hold about the concept of chalitza gerua. Does he hold there is an idea called chalitza gerua? Absolutely. And let's just start from there and review from that point on. And that is one line up from the bottom of Amud Beis. So, michte. Shaminan leil Shmuel diomar chalitza ma'alya b'inan. We know that Shmuel holds that you cannot use a compromised chalitza to achieve an actual heter on a bayit. How do we know that? Because the Omar Shmuel, we did this yesterday, I'm just reviewing it, because Shmuel said that in a case where we have two brothers that were married to two different sisters, and each one of these brothers also had another wife. So then that means four women are going to fall here, and now they fall to this Yava. So in that case, if you do chalitza to the achayot, you did not pater the tzarot. Why? Because since there was no way to do a yibum to the achayot, because each one would be achot chalutz zekukato, so therefore you cannot do the Ptur on the whole bayit to pater the tzarot. So why not? Oh, because it's a chalitza gerua. And if there's an option of a true chalitza, you can go ahead and do chalitza to the tzara. So if you do that, then you pater the entire bayit. So go ahead and do chalitza to the two tzarot who are not related. And therefore, you would be able to take care of the whole thing. But if you do chalitza to the two sisters, then the tzarot are going to need a separate chalitza. Why? Because the chalitza to the sister is a compromised chalitza. Because you weren't able to do yibum to the sister because of the iser of achotzi kukato. Now, that establishes firmly that the halacha is, according to Shmuel, chalitza gerua does not pater you. Now, I'm just warning you that what's coming up is an additional complication. That complication is that why is there a difference between the sisters and the tzorot? Would you have been allowed to do yibum to the tzora? The answer is no. Why not? Because there is an iser of the tzora of an achot chalutza. So in other words, in the same way that you cannot marry the two sisters because of achot chalutza, achot zekukato, you cannot marry either of the tzoras because the tzora is the tzora of an achot chalutzato. I keep saying chalutzato. I mean zikato, right? So the two sisters are usher to you, midrabbanan, because of zika. Again, according to Moshe Rishonim, we've been ignoring those strange cases in which they want to claim that zika even is a deraisa to asidus. Let's talk about the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan included that picture of calling an achot zikuka, the equivalent of an achot isha, calling the tzara of an achot zikukato, the tzara of an erva, which is achot isha, right? So in the same way that you weren't able to do yibum to the sisters, you also weren't able to do yibum to the tzarot. So why the heck is there a difference between giving the chalitza to the tzarot, who you couldn't have been miyabim, or giving the chalitza to the achot, who you could not be miyabim? Both of them are a chalutza girua. We're going to see later in the Gemara that the simplest approach to this is that the concept of tzarat chalutzato is weaker than the achot chalutzato directly. So tzarat achot chalutzato, please ignore me when I say chalutzato, I keep meaning zika. The achot zikukato is stronger iser than tzarat achot zikukato. And therefore, the Rabbanan did not extend the din of chalitza grua to require you to do chalitza davka to each one of these. And if you are chalitza to tzara, then that's good enough to pater the bias. We'll discuss the issues later, because Rashi introduces a concept called relative chalitza grua. How bad is the chalitza? So the chalitza to the achot zekukato is very bad, because there's a direct iser on marrying the achot zekukato. But the chalitza of a tzara is only bad, not very bad. So it's compromised, but it's compromised by two steps away from real iser. So achot zekukato is a direct iser drabana. Tzarat achot zekukato is only asura because of the fact that there's an iser drabana called achot zekukato, right? So therefore, relative to the iser of marrying the sister, the iser of marrying the tzara of the sister is weaker, in which case the compromise of the chalitza is a greater compromise where you try to do chalitza to someone that is more asura, and the achot is more asura, and the tzara is less asura because she's a step away from the actual gezera against marrying achot zekukato. And therefore, relatively speaking, a stronger, that is to say, a less compromised chalitza will help for a more compromised woman, that is to say, the sister that you couldn't marry from the primary iser d'rabbanan. But if you do it the other way around and you do the chalitza on the sister, that is a more compromised chalitza than would have been the case for the tzara. And therefore won't pater the tzara. So let's assume that that's the case. We have an idea called chalitza gerua, and we also have levels of chalitza gerua. There's a totally compromised chalitza, and there's a less compromised chalitza. So Shmuel seems to be saying, if you have a chalitza grua, then do the least compromised chalitza possible. Do the chalitza to the tzoreis of these two sisters, and that will potter everything. But don't do the chalitza to the sisters, because then you're going to have to turn around and do chalitza to the tzoreis separately, because it was not a good chalitza, and it was more compromised than the chalitza to them. Okay, so that's clear. So we now know that Shmuel holds that there is a problem of compromised chalitzas, and he's introduced yet a new idea of levels of compromised chalitza. Okay, but if he holds that there's a compromised chalitza, why did he say that in the case where there were no tzoras, there were just these three sisters, and we had Sally as the third sister, and Shmuel seemed to say one brother could do the chalitza for all of them. Now, let's imagine, okay, here's the case. Brother number one dies. Reuven goes ahead and does chalitza to his wife, who is one of the three sisters. Brother number two dies. Now, Shmuel is saying that that would mean that Reuven can go right ahead and do the chalitza to sister number two, because he says any brother can do all three women. Now, the obvious question is, how can Reuven give the chalitza to Pater, sister number two, when there is a perfectly good chalitza that could have been given to sister number two by the brother Shimon, who never gave chalitza to the first sister? Reuven already gave chalitza to their first sister, and therefore, this second woman, who we gave the name Rachel to, this second woman is Achot Chalutzato. So how could a compromised chalitza that is trying to do chalitza to Achot Chalutzato, how could that possibly be as good as a straightforward chalitza by brother Shimon if Shmuel is makbid on the idea of chalitza grua? So something is wrong with Shmuel's statement. Let's take a look at that in the Gemara. Asks the Gemara on the last line of the first line, last word of the first line on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. How could you say this? Hecha de kaima chalitza de Shimon chalitza kshera. We have brother Shimon who's got no problems at all. He can give a full chalitza because he could do yibum if he wants. She's not his achot chalutzato. Then you're telling me that he would allow Reuven, who is the first brother, continues to do the chalitza and his chalitza psula would be the solution? But that can't be, because that Shmuel himself said he agrees to that you need to do a chalitza that is of maximal effectiveness. Yeah, that's true, says the Gemara. When he said one brother can do chalitza to all of them, he meant one brother can do the chalitza to Sally. And you don't require both brothers to do the chalitza because they're both on the same level of a chalitza gerua. And therefore, what it is that Shmuel was saying is, I believe that there is a concept of chalitza gerua, but I do not believe Rav's extension into this new halacha, that in the event that there's a chalitza gerua, that chalitza only addresses the personal zika of that brother. And therefore, each surviving brother needs to do that chalitza grua to Sally. I don't know where Rav got that from, and I disagree. And therefore, I don't mean that you can do all three. Obviously, you can't do all three, because once you do, Reuven does number one. He can't do number two, who is Rachel, because Shimon is available, and Shimon's able to do a perfectly valid chalitza, so he's the one that's got to do that. But now that we're moving on to sister number three after the third brother died, Sally, both brothers are equally compromised because both of them have done a chalitza, and they're to both brothers, Sally is an achot chalutzato. So what's the difference which brother does it? What do you mean? We're not saying there's a difference. We're saying they both need to do it. Ah, says Shmuel, that I don't believe. Why do two people need to do chalitza? They're the same chalitza grua from each one of them for the same reason. It's achot chalutzato, Sally. And therefore, either one does whatever chalitza is available. It was Rav, says Shmuel, who imagined up out of nowhere this new idea that a chalitza gerua also is compromised in terms of its ability to deal with the overall zika, and it only deals with personal zika. Okay? So now the concepts are clear. Shmuel is arguing on one element of what Rav said. And therefore, when he said kulam, he meant the middle one. How can you use the word kulam to mean the middle one? Kulam, last I heard, means all of the above. Because, look, what he's saying is that one of these brothers is going to be taking care of two of these sisters, right? If Reuven does it, then Reuven did both Sally and Leah. If Shimon did it, then Shimon did both Rachel and Sally, right? Okay, so therefore one brother, we don't need both brothers. One brother can handle two out of the three, and that's fine. That's what I mean by kulam. I mean most of them. So in other words, the two of them that we were worried about. That's why we're calling it kulam. Or maybe, there's a whole different point over here. Vibayitema. Shmuel said that you need a good chalitza. But where did he say that? He said that where you have a relative question. You have a tzara that has one level of chalitza, and you have the actual achot who has a different level of chalitza. So there Shmuel said, well, if you've got a chalitza gerua, and you have an option of having a better chalitza, so then you must use the better chalitza to pater a tzara. But, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't use the chalitza for herself. Over here, Sally is all by herself. There were no tzoras. Shmuel never said you cannot use a chalitza grua to pater the woman herself. Shmuel only said that where you have an option, you have a tzora, so then you have to do the chalitza to the tzora because you can't use the chalitza grua of the sister to pater the tzora. That's all he said. But as far as using a chalitza grua for Sally, who is the direct sister, who is the achot chalutzato, or the achot zigukato, as the case may be, that we'll see. But the point is that he never said anything about that. And therefore, miftra nafsha patra, that's perfectly okay, according to Shmuel. Okay, so now let's analyze Shmuel's reasoning. We've already spoken a lot of this out because the Gemara had not yet introduced this problem, so let's run through the sugya, which we spoke out ahead of time. Gufa. Shmuel says, chalatz la'achayot lo niftaru tzarot, litzarot niftaru achayot. Now, there was more to it than that. Because Shmuel added, which now we're going to get into, that in the event that you went ahead and you have two women that fell from one brother, forget a simple case. Brother was married to two women, and we talked about this case a few minutes ago, and the Yavam goes ahead and he gives a get to one of these two women who are not related in any way to him or to the brother, obviously, and he gives a get to one of them. So then, by having given the get, what he's done is, since the Rabbanan considered that get to be valid midrabbanan, in the sense that now you can only do chalitza to pater her, you cannot do yibum because you already weakened the zika by giving a get. So therefore, the chalitza to that person, the balat haget, is a weak chalitza. And therefore, we have now another reason to extend the concept of compromised chalitza. Here it's compromised not because of a relationship between two. There's only one brother who died, and there's no other relationships. But you've got two women, one of whom is compromised because you gave her a get. You cannot pater the tzora. But if you gave the tzora chalitza, then that chalitza is a better chalitza, and that way you did pater the woman that you gave the get to. Obviously, there's no other thing that you need to do. But how about if you gave ma'amar, not a get? You went ahead and you gave ma'amar to one of the women. Now, that's the opposite case, because when you did ma'amar to one of the two women who fall to you from one brother, and then you go ahead and do chalitza to that woman, you changed your mind. You gave her a ring. You said, Hareyat mekudeshetli. Your intent was to give her yibum. And then you decide you don't like her. If you give her chalitza, does the chalitza work? Well, obviously, midiraisa, it works. But what about the fact that you married her with a midirabbanan marriage? Well, that is still going to require a get. So besides the chalitza that you gave to her, you also need to give her a get. That means that this chalitza is compromised. Compromised in the sense that it doesn't fully allow her to marry anyone because you had given her mamar. This is the opposite sense of the compromise. It's compromise because it's not enough, because you already had married her with mamar derabbanan. But nonetheless, it's a weaker chalitza than the type of chalitza that would allow this woman to go ahead and marry whoever she wants. Over here, it doesn't. Therefore, it will not pater the tzara. The tzara doesn't have mamar, and she needs the type of chalitza that will allow her to just go out and marry someone. But this isn't that kind of chalitza, is it? So it's yet another example of a chalitza gerua. So we've got all kinds of ideas that are included in this chalitza gerua concept. It could be chalitza gerua because there's a relationship that wouldn't have allowed you to marry. It could be a chalitza gerua because there's a relationship that makes you married and it still needs a get. Those seem to be mirror images, but nonetheless, the result is that this chalitza is simply insufficient to pater the other ones. This is all consistent with Shmuel, the way we're understanding him now. A chalitza gerua works for the woman, but it doesn't work for the bias. Now, that should not be confused with Rav's dictum, that a chalitza gerua works for your zika, but doesn't work for the bias zika, and therefore won't pater the other brother's zika. That's a completely different idea. It sounds the same, but it's a completely different extension of the concept of chalitza gerua. So, this is what Shmuel said. Now, I have a problem, says the Gemara, with this idea, because the bottom line is, you're not allowed to marry the sisters, but you're also not allowed to marry the tzaras. So they're both chalitza gruas. So why, if you do chalitza to the tzara, are you going to pater the achayot? I don't understand. Ask the Gemara, let's see that inside. Maishna la achayot, why are you telling me that if I did chalitza to the two sisters, I did not thereby pater the tzaras? Because the havyala achot isha bezika. Because it's a weakened chalitza, since this woman was an achot isha as achot zekukato, there was no option of yibum, and therefore it isn't really true when the yavam gets up and says that lo chafatzti lekachta, we say that katabol, you couldn't have been lekachta even if you wanted to, and therefore kola ola le yibum ola le chalitza. So it's compromised, right? So we can chalitza. That's what you're saying. We understood that. But if you do it to the tzaras, you got the same compromise. Because chalatz litzarot nami, lo lifteru achayot. Did you have an option to give yibum to the tzara of your achot isha bezika? No. Because there is an iser derabanan, and the same way there's a concept of achot zekukato, there's a concept of tzarat achot zekukato. Oh, says the Gemara, that's true. I forgot to mention that Shmuel holds ein zika. So since he holds ein zika, so therefore, that's not the problem. What do you mean he holds ein zika? So then if you do the, I don't understand. If he holds ein zika, then if you do the chalitza to the sisters, then it's not a more compromised chalitza. So then am I lo niftaru tzarot? Why then would you not part of the tzaras? Now, I understand why the tzara of the second brother who was married to Rachel. Remember, we had these brothers in order, and the women are falling in order, right? So we had the three brothers and so on that were married to the three sisters, and then we had the two surviving brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Remember the case. Brother number one, who is married to wife number one, sister number one, we're calling her Leah to remember the structure. So Leah falls before Reuven. Reuven gives her a perfectly valid chalitza. So that tzara is now completely petura. But now what happens is that Isha that falls to brother number two. Okay, what happens over there? Or in this case, if there's the case that he introduced with the tzara. So now we've got the tzara of the second wife, who we always call the tzara of Rachel. But now there's a problem. Because since we're talking about over here, his case of three brothers, and now there's one brother, if he gives chalitza to Leah, who was the first sister, and then he gives a chalitza to Rachel, you're not concerned about achot zikukato. You're concerned about achot chalutzato. Even if you don't hold of Zika, but you certainly have a problem of a compromised chalitza if you go ahead and give chalitza to the sister Rachel, who is the second sister, you have a problem because that's not a full chalitza. Since Rachel is Leah's sister and Leah was already given chalitza, so now you cannot use a regular chalitza to pater her. So why are you saying that if you do the chalitza, you go ahead and do chalitza to Rachel, then chalitza of Rachel is chalitza psula? That I understand. Why Shmuel says, okay, a chalitza psula is no good. Don't expect that the chalitza of the tzora, that the chalitza of Rachel is going to be a good enough chalitza. So that I understand. So if that's the case, what the part over here that I don't understand is why did you say if you do the chalitza of the sisters, you don't passel the tzora, you don't pater the tzoras. If you do the chalitza to the first sister, what do you mean you don't pater the tzoras? Of course you did. The tzora of Leah is a perfectly normal situation. The other woman, who was a sister to a woman of a husband who didn't die yet, so she got a normal chalitza. So why weren't you patering the tzoras? You said the tzoras, both of the tzoras. That can't be true. I thought that we're talking about a case where there was a normal chalitza. So tzora deleati pater. There's no possible explanation of that. Yeah. Of course, that's true. When Shmuel said that tzorot don't get pater, he meant the tzora of Rachel. But obviously the tzora of Leah, who got a normal, if you don't hold of Zika, and there was no achot chalutzato yet, and she's not achot zikukato, so what's the problem? He gave a normal chalitza, right? So what would be the problem? Well, he only meant the tzora of Rachel, the second sister. What do you mean he only meant the tzora? He said tzorot. The tzorot means both of them, no? No, he meant in this situation, all of these situations that might come up in the world, that tzorot of a compromised chalitza is not going to be good. So then, and now the rest of his statement, if you were cholatz the tzorot, you part to the achiot. Why, if you gave chalitza to the tzora of Rachel, why would that help Rachel? Because I'm back to the question that I asked you. Hatnan, osur adam b'tzarat krovat chalutzato. You cannot go ahead and give yibum to the tzora of the sister of your chalutza. And that's exactly what she is. If she is related to your chalutza, and you gave chalitza to her sister, and then her husband died, now you cannot do chalitza to either, yibum to either of them, not to Rachel and not to her tzora. So that means that the tzora has a compromised chalitza, and the sister has a compromised chalitza. So why then does Shmuel say that the compromised chalitza of the sister will not work for the tzora, but the compromised chalitza on the tzora will work for the sister? It's the same question we had originally. By claiming that he only meant one of them, you're not helping us, because you're going to have the same problem on that one. Why is he saying that there's a difference between doing a compromised chalitza on the sister herself and doing the compromised chalitza on the tzora? I don't understand if they're both compromised. So it should be the same, because osra adam b'tzarat krovat chalutzato. Answers the Gemara, Shmuel did not mean what you think he means. What Shmuel meant was that it depends where you start. That's what he's saying. The question is, where did you start doing chalitza? So when he said, if the Yavam does chalitza with the achayot, then he's not going to be able to pater the tzorot. What he really meant was that if he started by doing chalitza on one of the sisters, Leah, right? And Leah had a tzora. So then he cannot continue on by doing the tzora of Rachel. He can't take either Rachel or Rachel's tzora, because after all, d'etnan, Oser Adam Betzarat Krovat Chalitza Tov. So therefore, both of them need to get their own chalitza. That's what he's saying. So if you started wrong because you created a situation of Achot Chalitza Tov by taking the sister, giving chalitza to the sister, that's not what you should have done. That was stupid. If, in fact, you had started with the tzara, so then there wouldn't have been a problem. Because if you started with a tzara, then you can even go ahead and do chalitza to the second achot. Why? Because that same Mishnah says that even though you're usher in the tzarat krovat chalutzato, you are mutter in the krovat tzarat chalutzato. In this case, you can take a relative of a chalutza's tzara, which would mean that you're able. So in other words, over here you did chalitza with Leah, so then you're allowed to marry her tzara's sister. So in this case, he did chalitza to the tzara, meaning we didn't give her a name, but Leah had a tzara. So then he can go straight ahead and marry Rachel, because Rachel is only a relative to a tzara of his chalutza. So therefore, he could even take Rachel mamish, b'yibam, he could take Rachel. So her chalitza is perfect. And therefore, there's no problem. He's going to pater the tzara. He's definitely allowed to take the tzara b'yibam. That's not a question. So she's also. So therefore, you're going to have a normal case, and you give chalitza to one or the other, you will be able to pater both. And that's what Shmuel meant, even though it's a little bit strange to use the word, you know, achot, sarot, and to say, well, I really meant it all depends where you start. There's no other explanation. So by doing first chalitza with the tzara, you make everything so much better because you could take either of them. Ravashi says, I consider that to be very, very dochuk. To say that Shmuel is talking about if you started, I mean, I would rather take Shmuel at his word. Shmuel meant exactly what he said. He said if he does chalitza with the sisters, he means both, the sisters, the tzoros, both are not going to be mutter. There's nothing to do with the question that we said. Shmuel understood that there is Zika, as Rashi understands it. And if that is the case, since both of these sisters are zekukos, so both of them is achot zekukato, and you can't take either Leah or Rachel in Yibam. In which case, if you do chalitza to either of them, so you're not going to be able to pater the tzara. Even the first tzara. Not because of achot chalutzato, because of achot zekukato. So achot zekukato means her own tzara is usher. So what did Shmuel mean when he said, but if you do chalitza to the tzarot, you do pater the sisters, because the sisters, both of them, lachar is a chalitza gerua, is because of what we explained before. There is relatively compromised chalitza. And in this case, which one is more compromised? So the answer is, not all chalitza geruas are equal. Bishum delo alima zika leshavi letzora ke'erva. This is how Rashi understands these words. The zika, even though it asers the tzora, and it makes the tzora like an erva, it doesn't have the same strength in requiring a separate chalitza, the way it would for the sisters, and it's not called a chalitza gerua relative to the chalitza of the sisters, because the sisters are mamish achot zekukato, and this is a secondary gezera that makes a tzora of achot chalutzato, and a tzora achot chalutzato is not considered to be strong enough to make the chalitza gerua ineffective on the sister. That's what Shmuel was saying, and that's the way we had explained it according to Rashi in the first place. A relatively weak chalitza is still better than the primarily weakened chalitza, and therefore doing the chalitza to the tzara will pater the achot. That's what we're coming out with. And in fact, says the Gemara, I believe that we can prove Ravashi's contention that there exists such an idea of relative compromises, okay? Because take a look at this braita. The braita talks about Shmuel's case. You have two sisters, and they fall together with their tzoras. Each one of them has a tzora, and now they fall to one brother, one surviving brother. So it says in the braita, if you did chalitza to the sisters, then lo niftaru tzorot. But, I mean, does it say it, but certainly it's implied that halitzarot, if you would have given chalitza to the tzarot, you would have been able to patur the achayot. Why? Must be because even though yesh zika, and that's why it doesn't work to do the sisters for the tzaras, the zika is not strong enough to make the tzara of the erva, the equivalent of the erva, in order to make her zika, her chalitza too weak to patur the sister. Okay, that's exactly what Rav Ashi was saying in Shmuel. Perfect. Omer Ababa Bar Mamal, no, not perfect, because you can't prove that that's what this braita holds. It could very well be that the braita is going like Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai, remember, he holds that the tzorot are mutter. So since it's going like Beit Shammai, so they certainly, if they even allow the tzora of an erva d'oraisa, so obviously they're going to allow the tzora of the drabonin of achot zekukato. So that's why it says that if you do the chalitza on the achayot to Beit Shammai agree or asurot, that that does not help for the tzorot. But the tzorot, according to Beit Shammai, are mutarot. And therefore, if you do the chalitza there, there's no problem with the sisters themselves. But Eino Chinami, according to Beit Hillel, it could be that this would not be true. I don't see how you can prove. Now, the obvious question is, according to Beit Shammai, you should be able to do Yibum to the Tzoras, right? Because, I mean, Beit Shammai holds there's no such thing as a Tzoras. So the whole Mishnah is saying, no, you can't do Yibum, you have to do Chalitza. So how could you possibly say it's going like Beit Shammai? The Gemara is going to discuss that and ask that question later. But first, let's take a look now, immediately, at the issue of why say that if you could even give Yibum. But that's because of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, remember we said that even according to Beit Shammai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri wanted to make this amazing gezerah that would make all tzarot be the same according to both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel and would avoid all of the problems of not marrying into their, well, not all of them, but at least the problems of mamzeros, right, of marrying into one each other's family, because we would make a halacha that tzarot always get chalitza. And therefore, according to Beit Shammai, even though she's really muteret, but you're not allowed to do Yibum because of the gezerah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What? But we said before that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's gezerah never happened. Didn't you say that there was some event that stopped it? Min haShamayim? And lo yispiku l'gmar tadavar, ad shenitrafa sha'ah, the opportunity was suddenly ended because of some, I don't know what happened, the goyim came, dissolved the Sanhedrin, whatever happened. So there was no gezerah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So how could it be Beit Shammai according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? And what's going on? Om Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, look, I mean, what you'd have to say, Tosis explains that Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak holds that it is so crazy to explain this the way you're trying to explain it, that there is an Isser of Tzoras, Achot Chalutzato, and Achot Zekukato, but it's not quite the same level of the Isser of Achot Zekukato, and therefore the level of Chalitza Geruah is different. Oh, man, I mean, it's crazy. This whole thing is Durabon, and now you're making like this level and that level. I don't believe it. I'd rather pretend that I know that there was a historical event in which they turned around and they did make the Gezerah generations later of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri before this Mishnah was written than to say something as crazy as that. So therefore it must be that Acharav Chazru V'Tiknu, maybe after that opportunity was lost, they turned around in a later time and they reconvened and they decided to take Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's suggestion and they made that Isser. And that is the way it came out. Okay. Now that we understand this idea of relative values in a chalitza geruah, so there's different levels of compromise, let me ask you about the strange relationship of the idea of a compromised chalitza because it's compromised since it's not enough, or a compromised chalitza where the compromise is that it's absolutely enough, but you didn't have any option whatsoever of doing the Yibum, and there it's compromised because of the level of the Isser in doing the Yibum. Because when we were talking about Ma'amar, the compromise was that it's not enough, because even when you do the full chalitza, you're still going to need a get. We call that a compromised chalitza. Which one of those compromised chalitza is more compromised? Okay. So in other words, we had two situations over there. You go ahead and you did a get to one of the two women that were left to you from a dead brother. And then first you do mamar and then you do a get to the other one. Now, you can't marry either of those. You have to give them chalitza. Because once you give a get, then you are basically ossering both of them, because one of them looks like your wife's sister, because you gave the get. We'll get into this later, as I said, and that we're going to be talking about later. But at least let's take it as a given, that you cannot marry either of them. So which one is the better chalitza? And I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that, in a sense, the one that you gave the get to is a better chalitza. Because, I mean, essentially, you've already given her a get, which is one step towards getting her out of your life, right? So you gave her a get. So I understand that the get wasn't enough. But now when you give the chalitza, that is going to complete the entire process. So the fact that it was usher to marry her is less important to me than the fact that if you gave the chalitza to the Baalat Ma'amar, it wouldn't be enough. I mean, wouldn't be enough is wow, that's like really a serious problem with the chalitza. But Shenkin over here, if I go ahead and I give the chalitza, so then at least I'm going in the right direction. So I could say the Baalata get is better because you sort of started the process of getting rid of her. Or I could say, no, what do you mean? It certainly makes more sense to give the chalitza to the Baalata Ma'amar. Because the Baalata Ma'amar was a step closer to real Yibam. When you gave her the Ma'amar, you're saying, I am going to be Mayabim you, I read Mekudeshetli. So over there, the problem is not that the guy gets up and says, I do not wish to take her. He does say, I do not wish to take her. We look at him, we say, you idiot, you already did take her. At least Midrabanan, you gave her Ma'amar. That's a completely different problem. So on the one sense, we could say that the Baalat Ma'amar is much stronger to a normal chalitza. So I don't know how to look at it. Do I look at it as the chalitza is not enough, and that's a bigger problem? Or do I look at it as she's much closer to kol ha'ola le'yibam ola le'chalitza? Which one? Amravashi, I'm going to show you which one. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you from a braisa. Tashma, Moda Rebbe Gamliel, that in a case, Rebbe Gamliel is actually Moda, that this is now part of the Mishnah. We're going to have later on, right? So it's not directly part of the Mishnah, but it's the discussion in the braisa, what continued on. So over there we had a shaila like this. Can you give a get to two women who fall to you from the same brother? So Rebbe Gamliel says, you can't give a get after you already gave a get. So the first get is considered to be a real get, and the second is not a real get. What's the difference? The difference is that giving the get makes it look like you're married, and therefore you become usher on all the relatives of the woman that you gave the get to, because you treated her like a wife. So you can't marry her mother, and you can't marry her daughter, and so on and so forth, right? But the second one that you gave a get to will simply laugh you out of the house. What, are you nuts? How can you give a get to this bayit after you already gave a get to thinking that you're going to pater the bayit? And therefore, there's no problem, because this divorce doesn't have any kind of legal status. Mashenkin, the chachomim over there say, no, there is such a thing. Basically, you went ahead and you pretended that each one of these were like that. Furthermore, it says Rebbe Gamliel, if you gave Ma'amar to one, and now you've got this whole problem that she's considered to be your wife, Midrabanan, your usher for sure, to marry any of her relatives. But if you give Ma'amar afterwards to the second one, we laugh at you. What, are you crazy? How can you give a Ma'amar after you already gave a Ma'amar? Well, you're only allowed to take one of the women that fall to you. Bayit echad uboneh, ve'eino boneh shnei batim. Okay, so that is a machlokas regarding a completely different issue. Is an act of gittin following one act of gittin, or an act of ma'amar following another act of ma'amar, enough to make you look like a husband to both? Okay, that's not our concern right now. That's going to be in the Mishnah later on. We've got another 25 daf till them. Let's not worry about it now. But What is interesting is that Rebbe Gamliel is meida that even though there's no get after a get, and there's no ma'amar after a ma'amar, there is a get achar ma'amar, and there is ma'amar after a get. Now, let me ask you, what does that imply to our question? What does it imply to our question? Why don't we simply think it out like this? If a get creates a deeper connection than a ma'amar does, so then the ma'amar that comes after get shouldn't even be chal. If ma'amar is a deeper connection than a get, and that's basically what you were raising in terms of the chalitza psula, so then the get after ma'amar shouldn't work. Yet, he says that they both work. So what does that mean? It means that there is no weaker connection and no stronger connection. And that lahalacha, we view either of these events, either a get and ma'amar, to be equal in what it is that they do, how it is that they mess up the situation for the chalitza too. And if that's the case, it doesn't matter. So the chalitza giving to the chalitza to balata get, giving the chalitza to the balata ma'amar, are exactly the same, and therefore, if you give the chalitza to one, it's going to work on the other one as well, and therefore, you've got your answer. Fine. Okay, this is all, again, according to Rashi's whole approach, that we've got this relative value, and if both are the same, the values are equal, then everything is fine. Okay, we sort of have run out of time over here. So, what should we do? If you would give me 10 more minutes, we could finish. But do you give me 10 more minutes, or is it really so late?
Aftet is a shorter blot in 2 days to balance out.
Yeah, shorters don't necessarily mean shorter times. Well, let's see how much we can do in 5 minutes. Okay, is that okay? Let's try to do that and see what we can finish up. Okay, so we got a Shema Amina on this. Now, here's another question that has to do with the concept of Zika. Rav is quoted as saying by Rav Huna that if you have two sisters and they marry two brothers and they fall to one Yavam, so then here's the halacha. Chalatz l'rishona. If he gives chalitza to the one who fell to him first, and therefore there was no problem of achot zikukato, so then she is immediately hutra. If he does chalitza with the one that fell second, then she is a complete heter to do chalitza. That's for sure. Now, I don't care about the order, really. In other words, once I do chalitza with one, then she is completely mutar. Fine. That seems to be obvious. Okay. The Rishonim discuss what's even the point of saying it. But here is the fascinating thing. Suppose the first one to fall dies. So once she dies, there is no longer an Isser of Achot Sekukato. And therefore, he would even be able to take the second one. And for sure, if it's the other way around, because the other way around, let's imagine what happened. The first sister falls to him for Yibum. He says, well, I could actually do Yibum on her. But before he does Yibum, the second sister falls to Yibum. Now he's got a problem of Achot Zikukato, and he cannot do Yibum on her. But now the second sister died. Now there's no longer Achot Zikukato. And therefore, there is a concept of, if at first when she fell, she was muteret, then even if she became usser afterwards because her sister fell, if we remove that sister, she goes back to her original state of being muteret lo. And you can go ahead and do yibum. But what I want to taina is that you don't even need to come on to the fact that she was initially muteret. Even if it's the second one, and the second one, the moment that she fell before him, she was asura, because her sister was already zakuka to him. If the first one dies, he can now go ahead and take the second one, beyibum, because in removing the zika, she's now completely muteret. So for sure, if it's the other way around, if the second one died, he's allowed to marry the first one, because that's a classic case of a Yavama who became, at the moment that she fell, she was muteret, and then she became asura, and then she becomes muteret. So then, for sure, she goes back to her original status. Chazra lehetera harishon. Fine. But I say it works in both directions. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, no. I understand if the second one dies, then the first one goes back to her initial status, was that she was muteret. But if the first one dies, she's usher to take the second one, because the moment that that second one fell to him for Yibum, she was asura, because she was achotze kukato. And we have a klal. Kol yevama, she'ena ni korei ba b'sha'at nifila yevamo yevamaleha, ha'rezu keshet ach she'esh labanim v'asura. If I cannot take her at the time that she falls to me, so then you have to imagine a situation where achot isha, eshet achiv, is chal at that moment. The fact that afterwards, let's say two sisters died, one sister dies, and the erva now is not usher. It's too late. At the moment of Yibum, she was an erva, and therefore, remember, this was the biggest yesod. This was the basis for the whole idea of tsara and so on. If at the moment of the nefila, she's an erva, so she's forever usher because she now becomes the eshet achiv shelo b'makom mitzvah. So if the Rabbanan created an isser which is called achot zekuka, even though it's not an erva, it has exactly the same characteristics. If at the moment of the fila there was an isser, so then again, min Rabbanan, the brother is considered to be faced with a woman who is his brother's wife that did not have a chiyuv of yibum at the time of falling. So it's completely osur. So this is the equivalent of an eshet achiv shelo banim. This isser is a permanent isser. So how can Rav say that, oh, what, we're going to take off a permanent isser? And says the Gemara, what? And Rav doesn't hold to that? We know that Rav does hold to that. It says, Rav is the one who said that. Rav said, kol isha she'en ani korei ba b'sha'at nefila yevamo yavo aleha. That was Rav's own principle. So how in the world could Rav say that? In this case, I don't care which one dies. Bottom line is that right now she's muteres. Well, you know the answer. The answer's obvious, isn't it? I mean, what Rav was talking about was a real erva. And that's true. I mean, you can't remove ex post facto. You can't remove the erva. So even though from this point forward, you can remove the erva. So let's imagine where we have a situation where he is married to the sister. And now his wife dies. If his wife dies, well, that's the classic case where you change the status of the erva. Does she now, the brother's wife who used to be the sister of his wife, but now his wife is dead, so does she now become muteret? No. Because kol isha she'ena niko reba, at the moment that she fell to Yibum, she became a new erva. Besides being your sister's wife, she is your brother's wife, shelo b'makom mitzvah. You can't take off that iser once it happens, because that's a normal erva. Whereas your wife's sister is not a normal erva, because it changes depending on the continued life of your wife, you see? And that's what Rav was saying. Once that's impossible, because she now becomes your sister-in-law, your brother's wife, shloba makom mitzvah, that's where it's a deraisa. But over here, the entire problem was the creation of the Rabbana, Zika. Zika is the Rabbana. So then if I take off that Zika, and he doesn't hold of the Gemara that we said before, that Zika doesn't disappear just because of death, and he doesn't hold of that. So therefore, the moment that the Zika disappears, there is no ongoing Isser. Okay, I think that makes things pretty clear. So now today, what we've discovered is the concept of relative values of chalitza, the extension of the definition of chalitza psula, even into cases where the psula is not because you can't do yibum, but the psula is because you can't get away with doing more even after you give chalitza, which is a mirror image of what we thought chalitza gruel was until now. And we also discover that there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about whether or not the idea of chalitza gruel is also mechayev more than one chalitza to the same woman if there's more than one brother, which is what Rav holds and not what we hold. And we also found a question about the removal of an original iser on a woman who once needed to only get chalitza. Is there a way to change that and to make it possible to get her, even to get yibum? When we found that, yes, it is. Both according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, but it depends whether the Isser existed at the moment of the Nefila. If the Isser existed at the moment of Nefila, then if it's a Diorisa, everyone agrees that you can never take it off because she became an Eshet Achiv Shaloba Maka Mitzvah. But if the Isser is only Darabbanan, then Rabbi Yochanan says the Rav Darabbanan was patterned on the Diorita, and you could still never take her b'yibum, you can only do chalitza. Whereas Rav says, in the case of an Isser Darabbanan, even though at the moment of Nefila, she was Mutara, she was Asura, nonetheless, if you take off that Isser, namely Zika, then you can go right back and you can marry her.